this commonwealth of ours renowned of all the lands. For those who come across the seas, we've boundless plains to share. With courage, let us all combine to advance Australia fair. In joyful strains, then let us sing Advance Australia fair. Is that the third verse? Yeah, I know. This is the second verse of the official version. There's Trivial Pursuit people everywhere. Now, have a look at the lyrics, okay? They intentionally abandoned God Save the Queen for this new national anthem because they decided that the Queen was not what Australia was all about. They were trying to redefine their identity as a people. So I know this is only one verse, but could you highlight some things that people wanted, that Australians wanted to be known for from this? What are some things? Gwendy? Yes, so our national anthem, in 1984, Australians wanted to tell the world that we want to share our land from people that come overseas. Any other things that we wanted to say to the world then? Carolyn? Yeah, I love it. And I really love that verse. We toil with hearts and hands. But that's not the end of the verse. I love it. Why do we work hard with our hearts and our hands as Aussies? To make the commonwealth of ours. So Aussies see their land and their resources as a commonwealth for all, and we work hard to make a commonwealth. Isn't that cool? Any other thoughts? Anthony? I can't hear you. Make us an individual in our own country. Oh, yeah, working together. Yep. Anything else? Yes. Yeah, and as Aussies, we want it to be known as courageous because combining with people is hard work and it's scary. And everyone, no one's mentioned the main verse. The one thing we want to say about ourselves as Aussies in 1984, we're concerned for justice because we want to advance Australia fair. Isn't that interesting? This is a good national anthem just based on this verse. You know, Aussies, we want to be known as embracing everyone. Aussies, we want to work hard together to make a commonwealth for the benefit of everybody. We want to be courageous and we want to do it. We want to move Australia forward fairly. How Aussie are we now? Why am I telling you this? Because we're doing deep research into our national anthem? No. Because behind every song that's written, there's an identity that people want to portray. And guess what? The Psalms were songs written by God through people to express the identity of people. And today, I wanted to look at Psalm 66. If you could click the PowerPoint, it's not working again, Gwendy. The next slide. Excellent. So what I'd like to do is I want to show you a big picture of the psalm, and then I want to get into some details so you understand the song, because it's really cool. It's really cool. Let's get into the big picture. I don't know if you noticed, but when you look at Psalm 66, it's got a crazy word there. Do you see it? Selah at the end of the psalm. The psalm's broken up into four verses. There it is in front of you. Every time a verse finishes, they use the word Selah. The next interesting thing, Paul, don't throw the Bible, buddy. Not in front of the minister. That's a bad thing. Good boy. The next thing you'll notice at the front of every verse, there's a command. Do you notice every verse begins with a command? The command is, we must shout to God. And the second command is, come and see. And the third one is, praise our God. And the fourth one is, come and hear. And this song is beautifully logical because all the verses are linked. It looks like this. Shout for joy to God. Come and see why. Praise our God. Come and hear why. It's clever, isn't it? Let's get into the detail. Let's look at verse 1. Let me read to you verses 1 to 4 and highlight a few interesting details. Shout with joy to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of his name. Make his praise glorious. Say to God, oh, how awesome are your deeds. So great is your power that your enemies cringe before you. All the earth bows down to you. They sing praise to you. They sing praise to your name, Selah. I love verse 1. Who is meant to praise God? Who? Absolutely everyone. Love it. God wants every single nationality, hear me, God wants every nationality to participate in His joy. God's not just interested in one nationality. And if we didn't get the point, look at verse 8. The command again, praise God. Who praises God? All peoples. I love it, it's poor English, all peoples. So any nationality, God wants them to participate. Are you rich? Are you poor? Are you fat? Are you thin? Are you smart? Are you ugly? Are you dumb? Are you beautiful? God doesn't care. God wants all peoples, all nationalities to participate in His joy. And that's part of the identity of God's people. Pretty cool, eh? And in case you didn't get it, did you notice how verse 2 and verse 4 begins? You can see there in verse 5, it's an invitational psalm. I love it. Come and see. And it makes sense. If you want everyone to praise God, of course you're saying, come and see, I'll give you a reason to praise God. It's invitational. And again, the third stanza, the last stanza is, come and hear. I've got to tell you a story and give you a reason to praise God. Pretty cool, eh? I like it. Let's go to the second verse of the song. And of course, that'll be reading from verses 5 to 7. I know it's confusing. Listen to this. Come and see what God has done. How awesome His works on man's behalf. He turned the sea into dry land. They passed through the waters on foot. Come, let us rejoice in Him. He rules forever by His power. His eyes watch the nations. Let not the rebellious rise up against Him. So, see how it says, come and see? What does He want them to see? You can see clearly in verse 6 what He wants them to see. What is He describing in verse 6? Someone tell me. Parting the Red Sea. The only time in history where someone walks on dry land, it's about parting the Red Sea. And the parting of the Red Sea is part of the Exodus, where God rescued His people from slavery. Because when He parted the Red Sea, not only did He save His people so they passed through, but He also judged the wicked at the same time by drowning Pharaoh. So the logic is, shout for joy, everyone on the planet. We want to show you something. We want to show you our community experience that God saves His people from slavery and God judges the wicked. And in verse 7 you can see, be careful because our God of the universe will judge all rebels as well. Let's go to the third verse in the song, which is in verses 8 to 12. Let's see why he's praising God. Praise our God, O peoples. Let the sound of His praise be heard. He's preserved our lives and kept us from slipping. For You, O God, tested us. You refined us like silver. You brought us into prison. You laid burdens on our backs. You let men ride over our heads. We went through fire and water, but You brought us to a place of abundance. And that's very strange, isn't it? Some people think it's talking about the Exodus in a different way. So the Exodus is a time of salvation, but some people think it might be a time of refinement because the people that left Egypt were very, very different people that entered the Promised Land. So maybe it's talking about Exodus, but I don't think it is. I think the fire-water reference is talking about the exile when they were thrown out of their country. And I've seen it before in Isaiah, and I wanted to share it with you. But Isaiah 43, listen to this. Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I've summoned you by name. You're mine. When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. And when you walk through the fire, you will not be burned, Daniel. And the flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Saviour. Now, whether it's referring to the exile or the Exodus, it doesn't matter. The main point he's trying to say is God is in the business of refining His people. I didn't like verse 10, 11 and 12. I didn't like it, to be honest. I liked verse 10, that we're refined like silver, but I didn't like... Verse 11 says God put them into prison. Verse 11 says that God put burdens on their back. And verse 12 says that God let men ride over their heads. Isn't that interesting? The last person you'd think that would allow you into prison or let people overcome you and oppress you is God. But you know that verses 11 and 12 are part of the process of verse 10. Oh, what's refining? Can someone tell me what refining is? What's that? What's refining? Yeah, getting rid of the dross, purification. So when you refine silver, you put it through a furnace. It's a very violent process. And the refining process burns off the stuff that's unnecessary or the dross and leaves something pure and perfect. And so this verse is clearly trying to say, yeah, God allowed us to be imprisoned. God allowed other people to overcome us and press us down. God allowed us to be burdened because our suffering had a purpose of refining us and getting rid of the stuff that doesn't matter so that the stuff that does matter would shine. Is that all right? All right. Let's do the last verse. This is the verse that upset me the most, actually. And if you read it carefully, it might upset you too. The last one. What does he want them to hear? Verses 16 to 20. Come and listen, all you who fear God. Let me tell you what he's done for me. I cried out to him with my mouth, and his praises were on my tongue. If I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. But God has surely listened and heard my voice in prayer. Ah, praise be to God, who has not rejected my prayer or withheld his love from me. So what does he want them to hear? He basically just wants them to hear that God heard his prayer. That's pretty simple, isn't it? But what bugged me was verse 18. It bugged me. In verse 18, he says crystal clear there that God doesn't hear the prayer of a person who has sin in their heart. That bothers me because guess what's in my heart? Sin. The logical implication is my sin is interfering with my prayers. God's not, Dennis, I'm not listening to you. You cherish sin in your heart, and I know I do. So I'm perturbed. Who is this bloke that has no sin in his heart? Who is this bloke that God loves? Who is this bloke who God hears his prayers all the time? I know it's a Sunday school answer, but it is. It's Jesus. Now I want to show you a very important theology in one verse. 2 Corinthians 1:20 has very deep theology in it. You ready for it? No matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through him, the Amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. Jesus is the only one with the pure heart, whom God listens to 100% of the time. And if you like, why do you think we pray in the name of Jesus? Because we're riding on the coattails of Jesus' purity. This is why every promise in the Old Testament, especially the Psalms, if you're looking for someone to fulfill the promise, the yes is found in Jesus. Psalm 66 is about Jesus ultimately. Actually, all the Psalms are about Jesus ultimately. He is the one who is pure of heart. He is the one who God hears the prayers. He is the one who God loves. And we pray in Jesus. Our prayers are heard in Jesus' name because of his purity. Does that make sense? That's why our amens are spoken, in the name of Jesus, and we say amen. We know our prayers are heard. Does that make sense? Let's summarize it in a nutshell. It looks like this. You ready? God wants everyone in the whole world, no matter who you are, to participate in his praises and glory. And guess what? He has saved his people and he will judge the wicked. Not only has he saved his people, but he's in the business of refining his people. He uses all circumstances, good and bad, to burn away the dross. And guess what? We should also praise because God hears our prayers. And when you know it's in the name of Jesus, it's slightly tweaked, isn't it? The Exodus event is not the great salvation event where the people were released from slavery and the wicked were judged. The cross is the great salvation event, isn't it? That's when the real slavery was dealt with. That's when the real wickedness was dealt with. So now this psalm is our psalm, isn't it? It's our psalm through Jesus Christ. What's the take-home value? All right, here's the take-home value. Number one, I hate to say it, but Aussies have got a reputation They used to have a reputation of being whingers, haven't we? Aussies are whingers. That was our old reputation. Now our reputation is we're arrogant. That is not a good reputation. But can I tell you one thing? You are Christian before you are Aussie. Your nationality always comes second to your faith. Yes? And so the trait that marks a Christian, no matter what their nationality, is a trait of praise to God. That's what should mark. You ever met that person? Every time you meet them, you think, oh, they're going to talk about a medical condition. Oh, because they're defined by their illnesses. Oh, here comes the whinger. He's going to whinge about this and whinge about that. And the whinging, it's painful. But we want to be people going, here comes deeper. Here comes, David. They're marked. They're always thanking God for something. You know, oh, Tifa's always praising God. We're sick of it. It's great. So I want to encourage you, be marked as a person who's praising God. You're not delirious in life, but there's a sober praise of God. Can I encourage you, learn a Christian song or learn a hymn and sing it. There's your take home. Sing. Sing. And you've got good reason to sing. Let me tell you why. Here's a mistake we make as Christians. Hear me. Often as Christians, our praise for God is based on our circumstance. And it's good to thank God for good circumstances. Don't hear me wrong. When life is good, it's good to thank God. But pity you if your praise is driven merely by your circumstances. The Christian praise should be driven by our salvation. And this is gold, okay? Even when times are rubbish and you could be emotionally depressed, you can still praise God because you know that heavy place you're in where people are walking on you, you know it's not purposeless but purposeful and part of your refining process. So we are marked by praise because we are saved. We are marked by praise because we are being refined. We are marked by praise because we have God's ear through Jesus Christ. Eh? Come on, let's be honest. No one wants to listen to you. You ever had a conversation with someone, you watch them fade away? They've decided they don't want to listen to you anymore because you're not interesting? God never fades. How cool is that? All right. The second thing is something that struck me about the psalm. It was very invitational. Like, it's a come and see psalm. It's a come and hear psalm. You know, the psalm says, oh, look, I don't know your name, but come. Come. And I don't know your nationality, but just come. And I think that should be marking us. I think Christians, we should be hospitable and invitational. And if you want to use the techo term, we should be evangelistic. Because we want to be like God. God is invitational. His message is invitational. Therefore, we as his people should be invitational. We should be come and see people. Can I encourage you to open your hearts to other people? Invite them into your world. Open your home. Don't worry about if it's not clean or not. If your heart's not clean and your home's not clean, don't worry about it. You'll introduce them to Jesus and your messiness. Introduce people into your hobbies. So Steve, I know, cycles occasionally, and I know Stephen enjoys cycling alone, but maybe Stephen could invite someone cycling. Gary likes cricket. I can't play cricket alone, it's really boring. But you can invite people into your hobbies. I know John likes photography. He can photograph alone. But we are invitational people. We invite people into our lives. Yes, it's complicated. But we're part of God's kingdom coming. And I guess if you get nothing else out of this sermon, verse 16. It's up on the screen. Don't even have to look in your book. If you can do verse 16 in 2019, that's really, really cool. If you can say to anyone, come in here, let me tell you about what God has done for me. Could I encourage you as Christians, start saving up stories about how God's affected your life. Just save them up in your memory. And look for opportunities to share how you became a Christian or hear why you're still a Christian. So there you have it. Psalm 66, we have an invitational God that wants everyone to participate, and so do we. And we invite people to come and see what God has done in our life. We invite people to come and hear our story because we want them to participate. And I want to encourage you, your praise is not based on circumstance only. It's based on circumstance, salvation, refining, and having the ear of God. And that's a pretty good reason to praise God. All right, I've said enough. I'll pray very briefly, and I'll pass it back to Rachel. Father God, thank you that you love everyone, because we're not that lovely. Lord, for everyone in this room, please fill us with your Spirit and give us a reason to praise you. And Lord, give us the courage to invite people into our life, into our mess, so they can see the person who's cleaning up the mess, you. Lord, enable everyone in this room to find their gift you've given them and to use it in 2019. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for your time.
Yeah.